this afternoon, we're going to be talking about what is known as faith promise giving. Some of you may be familiar with it, and my purpose this afternoon is to try to show you biblically that this is not some kind of a man-made concept, but rather this is a concept that God has presented to us throughout the Bible. And I'm going to be using both an Old Testament illustration as well as a New Testament truth to be able to help you understand what we mean by faith promise giving. A missions conference emphasis week like this, or really 4 days, is primarily, number one, is to challenge people to be willing to say, "Hear my Lord, send me." That's what God's looking for, volunteers. We have a song that we sing in the songbook, "A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier true. Others have enlisted, why not you?" And quite often people talk about, "Well, God called me," and I'm not against that, but I think the Lord's looking for a bunch of people that'll just simply say, "I'll go." When I was a pastor and I took my first missions trip, I had no intention of not being a pastor. I had no intention of starting this ministry of missionary evangelism. But I went to Nigeria, and the Bible says, "Thine eye affecteth thine heart." And I saw things that I had never seen before. And during that 8 days, I just thought, I came home and I sat down with my wife and I said, "Why sit we here till we die?" I mean, we had the American dream. We had a house, even had a white picket fence, had a big yard to raise our children with. And I'm all for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I said, "Why sit we here till we die?" And I tried to explain to her what I saw. And eventually I just said, "Lord, if you'll fund me, I'll go and help these missionaries. I'll go and help these national pastors reach their area with the gospel of Jesus Christ." And I believe that, number one, God's looking for people that'll volunteer and say, "Okay, hear my Lord, send me." Number two, he's looking for God's people that'll say, "You know what? I want to invest in people that have already volunteered. They've already surrendered and said, I want to go." And we're trying to ask people to say, "Lord, help me to have the faith to invest specifically in missions so that we can help those people that have volunteered to get to the field and stay on the field so that they can reach that all the world may know." I've had the privilege of being in 24 different countries. I've had the privilege of the last 21 years of taking 60-plus trips now. As Pastor said, I just got back from Nigeria, where we had a leadership training week, and I also preached in another individual church in which he was emphasizing leadership as well. And so, you know, we're trying to not only get people saved ourselves, but we're also trying to train and encourage preachers to keep on going for the Lord. Not only missionaries, but also people that are raised in these nations. And they've surrendered, and now they're serving the Lord with their lives. And so this morning, we're going to look at this thing called faith promise giving. And, okay, good, he's up there. Why don't you go ahead and hit the next one, faith promise giving. When we talk about faith promise giving, we are talking about making a commitment. We're not talking about a pledge where, you know, we say, "Well, I pledge," and then legally, you know, you're bound to do this. This is a commitment by individuals that will say, "You know what? I'm committed to this concept of helping fund these missionaries, these church planters, so that they can go into other areas that we as a church are not going to, or I as an individual am not going to." It's a commitment. It's a commitment. First of all, it's a commitment to God through the local church. In other words, this commitment that you're making, it really isn't to the local church. You're going to go through the local church with your finances, but it is a commitment to God. You're saying, "God, I'm committed to fund and help send these missionaries and these preachers around the world so that we can see more people trust Christ their Savior and, of course, see them grow in the Lord just like you have the opportunity to do that." Secondly, it's a commitment based upon God's principles. We're not talking about a commitment that's based upon feeling. Now, there might be feeling involved in it, but it's really a commitment based upon God's promises. And I'm going to show you some of those promises this afternoon. So it is a commitment where you see what the Bible says and you say, "You know what? I'm going to, by faith, believe that what God says about these principles or these promises, that he really means it." And that's what faith is. Faith is not just a feeling. I mean, there might be feelings involved in it. Faith is when you see a principle in the Bible and say, okay, I don't understand it necessarily. I don't necessarily see how God's going to do it, but I'm going to believe God, and I'm just going to say, okay, if God said it, I'm going to go ahead and apply it to my life. And then thirdly, it's a commitment based upon God's promises. You know what, folks? We have no way of being able to live the Christian life unless we believe in God's promises. And God promises. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. If you believe that promise, then you can go in faith to talk to anybody about Jesus Christ, knowing that God's with you. Right. It's not a feeling. Right. Whether you feel him or not, you're saying, okay, God said, lo, I'm with you. Okay, I'm going to by faith believe him, so I'm going to start talking to people about Jesus Christ. Amen. So a promise is just simply seeing what God says and say, you know what? I'm going to claim that promise for myself. And that's how you have victory. That's how you have joy. That's how you have boldness to serve the Lord. So this commitment is through the local church. It's a commitment to God through the local church. Secondly, it's a commitment based upon God's principles, God's truth, the Word of God. Thirdly, it's a commitment based upon God's promises. So faith promise giving, we have to ask ourselves, next one please, what is faith promise giving? What is faith promise giving? Next slide, please. First of all, the faith part. Faith is acting on a principle or promise of God. Now, when it comes to giving, there are many principles in the Bible, but we're just going to look at a few of them this afternoon. First of all, the principle of tithes and offering. We see here in Malachi 3:8, he says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offerings. Then in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9, he says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So Malachi 3:8 talks about what is known as the tithe. The word tithe just simply means 10. So the tithe is 10%. In other words, all of God's increase to me, God says, I want you to honor me by giving back to me, to God, 10% of all that I've given to you. The Bible says that the world is the Lord's, right? And all that's in it. So that means everything that we have is given to us by God. So if we really believe that, then we're going to look at everything God gives us, all the increase, and we're going to give back to God 10%. And of course, God was speaking to the children of Israel, and he said, will a man rob God? And they said, yet you have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God answered him. He said, in tithes and offerings. Then God gives us the principle of the first fruits. In Proverbs 3:9, he says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. In other words, every time that God increases me personally, then I'm supposed to set aside the first fruits. In other words, before I pay my bills, before I feed my face, before I take care of anything else, I'm supposed to set aside that 10%, the first fruits, specifically for God. In other words, I don't want to get to the end of my checkbook and say, oops, I don't have any left over to give to God. God says, you give to me first, and he says, I'll bless you, and I'll get to that in just a minute. Matthew 6:33, when Jesus was on the earth, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What was he talking about there? If you were to look at that chapter, you find out that Jesus was teaching to his disciples about clothing and about feeding ourselves, which are the basics of life. Amen? How many like to eat here? Amen? Everybody? I just ate a great lunch this afternoon. Your pastor is a great cook. He took us to Red Robin, and he's a great cook. And so I like to eat. And Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he said, you're concerned with your food. You're concerned with what you're wearing. And he says, seek me first. And he says, all these things, and that's the promise I'll get to here in just a minute, will be added unto you. So these are God's principles. And then finally in 2 Corinthians 9:7, when it's talking about this giving above and beyond the tithe, he says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. This is what we call voluntary giving. The tithe is a requirement by God. He says, everything I've given to you, the way you honor me is by showing me this honor by giving 10% back to me. Then he says, above that, I want you to give willingly. In other words, a voluntary giving. He says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. And faith promise giving is in this area of voluntary giving. In other words, nobody tells anybody what to do. It's not a matter of everybody's got to give this, that, and the other thing. No, it's a matter of each person getting along with God and saying, how much do I want to give voluntarily above and beyond the tithe, specifically for missions? He says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. You know, some people, they say, he says, not grudgingly. He says, not or of necessity. Well, I got to do it. No, not of necessity. He says, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Did you know you can actually enjoy giving? You can. You can get to the point where you actually enjoy giving. I was saved a very short time, within the first year that I was saved. And I was a brand new Christian, and all this thing about Christianity was brand new. I was talking to people about Jesus Christ, and I was learning about, separating from the world and living for God. And I'll never forget, the pastor got up one time and he says, look, folks, we have a need in our church. Our church has a Christian school, and we need a van for the Christian school. And he says, we found one, and it's going to cost this much. And he says, I want you to pray about what you'd give above and beyond the tithe, just volunteer giving. And as a brand new Christian, I remember sitting in the pew and thinking to myself, I want to take a part of that. I want to do something about that. And I'll never forget, I actually got excited about it. I thought, I was single at the time, and I had money in the bank. Well, that's been a long time ago. But anyways, I had money in the bank, and I thought, I want to have part in this getting. And I got so excited about it, and I'm not trying to build myself up. I'm just simply saying, talking about this voluntary giving. Sorry about that. I lost my poppy. And so I went to the bank, and I'll never forget, I went to the bank, and I said, I want to pull out this much money. Give it to me all in $100 bills. I was so excited. Man, I got excited about it as a brand new Christian and got all that money, put it in an envelope, didn't want anybody to know about it. To this day, nobody in that church ever knew that I was the one that did this. And I put it in that envelope. I couldn't wait till the next service. And I'll never forget, the service came, and I just kind of threw it in there so nobody could see it. And boy, the pastor was excited. See, God says, I'm looking for voluntary giving, not grudgingly, not of necessity, I got to do it. But he says, God loveth a cheerful giving. So we see the principle. Now, the promise that's involved in this. Here's what I like to say to people, because it's true. Our God is so great. If he wanted to, because he saved us. Now, if you're saved today, if there's been a time and a place when you trusted Jesus Christ as the only way to get to heaven, put your faith and trust in just what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary to take away your sins and give you the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're saved today, God has a right, if he wanted to say, this is what you should do, and not give any promises with it. But our God is so wonderful. He gives promises, and then he says, you know what? Not only am I going to give you a principle, tithing is a principle, voluntary giving is a principle, the first fruits is a principle. He says, not only am I going to give you a principle, but I'm going to give you a promise that goes with the principle. In other words, our God likes to reward us. He likes to encourage us to do right. If all he did, some people have an idea that God is an ogre. Stern. No love, no mercy. But our God's so wonderful. Does he give us principles? Yes. Does he challenge our faith by saying, okay, give me 10% of your increase to me? That's scary to us as human beings. You're looking at the 100% and saying, I can't make the 100%. How am I going to make it with 90% of my income? But God says, look, I want you to do that. But then he says, look, I got a promise with you. I'm going to give you a promise how I'm going to take care of you. So look at the promises that he gives to us. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. God says, when I was a kid and us boys would be boasting about what we could do. I'm so strong, I can beat you up, back and forth as kids do. And every once in a while, finally, somebody would get sick and tired of hearing all this boasting, and he would say, prove it. It's prove it. And it's like, oh, I didn't expect anybody to challenge me on that. But God says, prove me. Right. He says, look, I want you to prove me. I want you to take my word and then prove me. Okay, God, I believed you. I followed your tithing. And now I need you to come through and help me out. That's what he says here. He says, prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not be enough room to receive it. Now, God is not a prosperity gospel God like some of these televangelists are. He didn't say that. But what he did say is he says, you, if you'll follow my principle, now you can claim my promise and say, Lord, prove it. Now, I've got a need. Would you please help me? Because I've followed your principle. I'm asking you to prove yourself to me. Another promise, Proverbs 3:10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There's another promise. These are promises from God. Matthew 6:33. And all these things shall be added unto you. He said, seek me first in my righteousness and the kingdom of God, and all these things, he was talking about food and clothing specifically, some people believe shelter, shall be added unto you. That's a promise from God. Then 2 Corinthians 9:8, and he said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, both of those chapters are talking about giving. And God calls them a grace. And he says, in other words, the grace of giving. And so this promise here is talking about how God sees it when we voluntarily give above and beyond the tithe. And he says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. In other words, the grace of giving that you performed, God says, I can make it so that all grace will be abound to you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. God says, look, giving in the area of missions or giving to help people, whatever the giving is, he says, that's a good work. And I'm seeing it. I'm watching what you're doing. And he's promising, I will make that grace abound towards you so that you can abound in this grace. So this is a promise from God. So we see the first part of this faith promise giving is our faith in God's promises and his principles. The second part is we make a vow to God. That's what that commitment is all about. In other words, this church is saying to the people of the Anchor Baptist Church, I want you to prayerfully consider what you believe God wants you to do in the area of missions above and beyond the tithe for the next year. It is the business meeting, if you will, of the Anchor Baptist Church to determine what you're going to do for the next year in this area called missions. So the promise is what we make to God. Through the church, yes, but to God. Notice what the Bible says about a promise. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. In other words, God says, this is a serious thing with me. He says, when you make a vow to me to do something, I'm listening, and it's a serious thing. And he says, when you make a vow, don't say, well, I can't do it now. So he says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. I'm glad that you're following me. I keep forgetting to tell you to go to the next slide. You're on it. Thank you. And then he says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? These verses are teaching us that when we make a vow to God to do something, God's listening and he takes us seriously. And he says, that's a big deal. And he says, it's better if you don't vow than if you vow and don't fulfill it. The Anchor Baptist Church is not looking for a bunch of people that'll say, well, you know, I think I'll go ahead and give, you know, $50. And, you know, like you're throwing a dart at a dartboard. No, the Anchor Baptist Church is saying you should prayerfully consider what the Lord would have you to do in this area of missions above and beyond so that this church can make decisions regarding what they're going to do in the area of missions. And therefore, they want to be able to depend upon people to come through with their vows. And God says, it's a very serious thing with me. 2 Corinthians 8:11 says this, now therefore perform the doing of it. In other words, God says, if you're going to determine to do something, make sure you perform the doing of it. And that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also of that which ye have. So that's the promise. Now the giving part. That's the next slide. The giving part. Of course, Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That's the giving. 2 Corinthians 8:11, now therefore performing the doing of it. That's the giving. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That's the giving. By the way, that is a promise as well. 2 Corinthians 9:6. When it comes to this area of voluntary giving, God says this. He says, you know something, folks? I have to confess something. I can be selfish. I can be selfish. And sometimes, I'm just being honest with you, sometimes in my giving, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I want to reap bountifully. So if I want to reap bountifully, that means I got to give bountifully. Because he says, in other words, I can determine, and by the way, this isn't necessarily talking about you receiving physical gifts like money, but he's talking about spiritual reaping here. He's talking about reaping in heaven. Every one of us are going to give an account after we're saved. We're saved by grace. We're saved by faith. But everybody here that's saved, God is going to see what you do with your life now that you're saved. And he's going to determine your rewards in heaven based upon what you do. And God's saying here, look, you can determine your own rewards in this area of giving. He says if you give in this area of trying to get people saved, you give money so that others can get people saved, he says you will reap sparingly if you give sparingly. But if you reap bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. He's talking about eternal rewards, not just rewards on this heaven. He's talking about eternal rewards. I don't know about you, but I like rewards. Now, if you say you don't get too excited about rewards, the next time you get a raise from your boss, send it to me. If rewards don't excite you, just send it my way. But look, all of us enjoy getting a raise. All of us enjoy rewards for doing a good job. And God is a rewarder. And he says, look, you can determine your rewards in heaven. So that's the giving part. Now I'm going to show you, this is the most important thing that God left us to do on this earth. And that is called the Great Commission. 5 times he said to the disciples, this is the task that I'm leaving with you now that I'm going to heaven. He said in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and teach all nations. Mark 16:15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. John 20:21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the most important task that we have is this area of getting the gospel to every creature. All of us, not just preachers, all of us are supposed to be involved in that. And he said, this is the task that I have for you. So the question we have to ask ourselves, how can we do that? How can we fulfill God's commands? I'm going to give you an Old Testament command that God gave to the children of Israel, as well as a New Testament command here, and try to illustrate this. In the Old Testament, something very interesting happened when people would harvest their fields. In Leviticus 19:9, got that? Go to the next one, my brother. There you go. In Leviticus 19:9, it says this, and when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard, thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now I'm going to illustrate what God was saying here. If this pulpit area represented my harvest, now you got to understand, the vast majority of the people were farmers. It was an agrarian, what we call an agrarian economy. So the vast majority of them, that's how they made their living, either by growing crops or by growing livestock or both. And God says, when you come to the harvest time, when you come to that time when you're harvesting all that grain, he says, I want you to look at your harvest that you have, your fields that you have, and he says, I want you to deliberately not harvest everything that's in your field. Now, notice he did not tell us how much we should not leave, that we should leave. He says, I want you to leave a portion. And, of course, in this instance, he told us what to leave it for. He says, I want you to leave it because the poor and the stranger, people like widows, people that are orphans, the poor and the stranger, in Old Testament times, they had the right. In fact, if you were to read the book of Ruth, that whole book of Ruth, surrounds this concept here. When Ruth and Naomi came back from Moab to the children of Israel, they were both widows. And Naomi said to Ruth, she said, go into the fields and collect the gleanings. She had a right to do that according to Old Testament law. And so everybody that owned property, they would look at their harvest and then they would choose how much they would deliberately leave, not for themselves, but for the poor, the stranger, the widow, the orphans. And so nobody told them how much. So if I owned a piece of property, I could leave a little bit. Or I could leave a lot. So it was up to me to make that decision as somebody that owned a property and that had a harvest. And God was given a concept here. And here's the concept. When they decided on how much of a harvest to leave, follow me, they did not know the future. Did you hear that? They didn't know what the next spring was going to be like. They didn't know about the rains that may or may not come. They didn't know if when they planted next spring, if they get the proper heat from the sun, or would it be too cold? They had no idea. If they had a good planting, they did not know if they were going to get enough moisture, rain, and sunshine so that they could have a good harvest next year. In other words, they had to make a decision that was going to last them a whole year. In other words, whatever they left for the widow, for the poor, for the orphan, for the stranger, it was gone. And they could not recoup it. In other words, six months down the road, they couldn't come to the widow and say, hey, we're having a tough time. Our harvest doesn't look good for this year, so I need to get that stuff back that I gave to you 6 months ago. No. And by the way, they were the same human beings as you and me. What do you mean? In other words, they were probably thinking to themselves, just like we do when we make commitments that we're asking you to consider, they're probably thinking, wait a second, I don't know what's going to happen next year. I don't know if the economy's going to be good. I don't know if I'm going to lose my job. I don't know what's going to happen, and you're expecting me to make a commitment for a year in this area of missions? Well, that Old Testament saint was having the same challenge. He had to make a decision on how much he was going to give, specifically for the stranger, for the poor, for the needy, and he didn't know the future. And notice how God addressed that. Look at the last part of verse number 10. I am the Lord your God. You know what he was saying to the Old Testament saints? He was saying, I know you're human thinking. I know you realize that I'm asking you to make a decision that's going to last a year. And I know that as a human, you're going to say, I don't know what the future is going to hold. And so he was reminding them, I'm the one that's giving you this challenge. I'm the Lord your God. I see what you're doing. I know how big of a harvest you're leaving. And I can take care of you. He was telling them, you trust me. They had to live by faith, just like God says we're supposed to live like faith. Notice God says the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Just like the Old Testament, God says, you purpose in your heart how big of a harvest you're going to leave for the stranger, for the poor. And he says to New Testament Christians in this area of voluntary giving, he says, every man as he purposeth in his heart. You see, this challenge is to each individual here. It's not for me to go around and say, I wonder what Joe's going to do. I wonder what Sally's going to do. I wonder what, you know, Muhammad's going to do. I wonder. No, it's between me and the Lord. I'm purposing. I know what my harvest is. I know what God blessed me last year with. And God's saying, by the way, we just had our missions conference in August of this year. And I'm at that point in my giving that I get a little nervous when the missions conference comes around. I do. I'm just being honest with you. Because I'm at that point in my giving where I'm thinking, how much more can I do? It gets nervous. And I have to depend on love offerings and different things like that. I don't have a consistent income. But I know how much God blessed me last year. And I can look at how much God blessed me last year. And then I make a decision based upon last year what I'm going to do for our missions program this year in our home church. And I did. I really struggled with it this year. What am I going to do this year in this area of missions? But I have to remind myself, I'm the Lord my God. I have to remind myself, verse number 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And when I'm giving, I'm realizing that all of the 139 missionaries that our church supports, I got a portion of that. My giving has a portion of every soul that's saved in the multitude of countries that are represented by our missionaries. Folks, we got to let that excite us. We got to think about the eternal. We got to think about, wait a second, there are souls that are going to be in heaven because I was willing to give a portion of my harvest for the greatest need on the face of the earth. And that's the need of the gospel. Those of you that are saved, aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? Aren't you glad that somebody loved you enough and cared about your soul enough that they gave you something? Hey, this pastor is here because people gave for his family to move to this country. And he's planted himself here so that he could reach the people in this Vancouver general, this greater Vancouver area for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody cared about me. My brother cared enough about me to tell me about Jesus Christ. Now, he wasn't a missionary. He's just a layman in the church, sitting in the pew just like everybody else. But he cared about his brother enough to tell me about Jesus Christ. I should care enough about the people in Nigeria and about the people in Poland and about the people in Italy and about the people in Zaire and about the people, I mean, I could go on and on and on. I should care enough to say, okay, God, this is my harvest. This is what you've given to me. I'm going to willingly, not grudgingly, not of necessity, but willingly, I'm going to look at my harvest and say, okay, God, I'm giving a portion specifically for the greatest need on the face of the earth. And that is the need of every human being to hear about the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Next thing, the last thing. Here's what it comes down to. Folks, the Bible says that we can only please God by faith. It's the only way we can please God. The truth is, when we give to missions, it's not the giving that pleases God. It is our faith in God's principles and God's promises that pleases Him. That's what pleases Him. So here's what it is. By faith in God's promises, the Christian makes a commitment to the church to give a specific amount above the tithe for missions. By faith. By faith in what? The principles of the Word of God. The promises of the Word of God. That's what the challenge is. To say, okay, is this promise really for me? Is it for me? Is this God speaking to me? Is this God's book that's speaking to me personally? Are these promises for me just like they are for everybody else? So it's by faith in God's promises the Christian makes a commitment to the church to give a specific amount above the tithe to missions. Number two, by faith in the people's commitment. Now, see how this is important. By faith in the people's commitment, the church makes a commitment to the missionaries to support them in their endeavors to reach the world with the gospel. So the church corporately decides, okay, we're going to support more missionaries, or we're going to give more to the missionaries we do support. But that decision is based by the faith that you will come through on your commitment. Commitment to God through the local church. And then finally, this is the thing. By faith in the church's commitment, the missionary goes to the world to preach the gospel to every creature. The missionary that leaves one country to go to another country, they're leaving by faith that the people, the churches that they went to, presented their burden, and then those churches said, okay, we'll support you. They're by faith in those people's, those churches' commitment, they're saying, okay, we're going to go to the field, believing that those churches were sincere and that they'll come through on their commitment. Folks, we're living a life of faith, amen? A life of faith. See, this is what faith, promise, commitment is all about. Could I have one of those cards real quickly? And that's what this is what this little piece of paper is all about. It's about you saying, okay, am I going to believe God's promises to me concerning this area of giving? And am I going to be willing, by praying and asking God, what would you have me to do based upon my harvest in this area of missions? And then you make a commitment that I'm committed to do this. I'll close by saying this. I'll just give one illustration of how God's promises come through when it comes to this area of giving. One year I was at a Faith Promise Missions conference, and I was actually trying to raise support for my ministry. And I got so convicted by the preaching of the Word of God during that conference that at the end of the conference, I made a decision to double my faith promise giving. And the truth is, after I made that commitment to God, I started having doubts. Did you ever make a commitment to the Lord and then afterwards you said, what did I get myself into? And I started having a little bit of doubts. But you know what? I thought, Lord, I made that commitment to you. And I'm going to come through on that commitment. And so for the next year, I came through and I followed through on that commitment. I got close to the end of the year and we had some bills that were due. And I had only one meeting left for that year, one preaching meeting. And I said, God, you're going to have to help us. I've only got this one meeting. I've got these bills that need to be paid. Now listen to this. I went to God and I said, prove it, God. I did this in faith. I've committed to this Faith Promise Missions. I'm not great, but I continue. You know I did it, Lord. I continue to give. Now I need you to help us out. I went to that church, presented to my ministry. They gave us a love gift on our way home. Happened to be in the same state as we live. On the way home, I looked at that check, and I was real excited. The largest love offering that I had ever received up to that time was given to me by that church. And, of course, I rejoiced. I said, Lord, thank you. You came through. Monday came around. My wife was home. She said, the treasurer of that church called and wants to talk to you. I thought, boy, I hope they don't want their check back. I'm just being honest. So I called the treasurer, and he said, Brother Belial, he says, I just wanted to let you know that the church voted to take you on for monthly support as well. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. God took care of our bills. Now this church taking us on for support. And then he says, oh, and I, by the way, I hope you don't mind, but we decided to give you a second love gift. I said, no, I don't mind. That's fine. You can do that. And because of the size of the first gift, I thought, maybe a couple of $100. And, you have little faith. And so Wednesday came around, and I looked in my P.O. box, and I got that check from that church. And that church, that second check was three times the size of the first check. But here's what got me excited. I did a little calculation in my brain. And that one church with those two checks gave me every single bit of money that I had given the previous year for Faith Promise Giving. Amen. That one church. Amen. Now, that never happened before, and it has never happened since then. That's just one illustration of how God said, look, you trust me. You do what you know I want you to do in this area of voluntary giving. I'm watching you, and I'll take care of you. And God did it that way in that particular